Haven's weekly podcast with Pastor Ryan Martinez. Our purpose at Haven is to create a fun atmosphere for teenagers to discover God together. Our hope is to lead you into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ by teaching you how to know God and make Him known. Thanks for listening.
You guys ever seen the movie You Got Served? Yeah, it's a dance movie from like 2004. It's like some of the best acting I've ever seen in my life. Not really. Yeah, it's terrible acting. But the title is You Got Served, and it's all about like a dance movie. And this line in the movie, like, so these two crews would go against each other, and they would like dance battle, you know, like that kind of thing. And want this one crew beat the home crew. And the home crew is mad, and the guy, the leader of the one crew that won, he gets up and goes, "Yeah, well, you're just mad, because tonight, you suckers got served." And I never understood what that meant. And so tonight, that's why that's up there, just because of the movie, and I like the dancing in that movie, so it reminded me of that. But tonight, my message is called You Got Served, and I'll get into why that is. But first, I want you guys to help me figure out what would you guys say the most valuable element on the planet is. What's the most valuable element? Huh? Water. Why? It's what keeps everything alive. That's good. Would anybody else disagree? Would anybody else say anything else? Oxygen. Okay, why would you say that? Yeah, that's very good. I would say this, though. There have been planets and moons found with oxygen in the atmosphere that don't have life. The only planet that has water is the only planet that actually has life. So I see what you're saying, because I thought the same thing, but then I had that thought. I was like, yeah, but the Earth is the only planet with water and the only planet with life. So I personally think that water is the most important element on Earth. It's the most valuable. It is the source of life. It's useful and helpful in so many ways, but there's one way that it's not useful, it's not helpful. What way is that? Like, what state would you guys say that is? You guys know? Building fires? Okay. That's an interesting answer. Evaporated water. No, wouldn't say that. Stagnant water. Stagnant water is actually, it's not good for you. And actually, it turns toxic and deadly, and you're not able to consume it. I found a little blurb definition of stagnant water on the internet. It says, stagnant water is standing water that has been sitting without moving for a significant amount of time. Any amount of water can become stagnant. So it doesn't matter. It could be a little puddle on the ground. It could be a large lake. If it hasn't moved in a long time, then it could become stagnant. Stagnant water is characterized by low oxygen levels. This makes it unsafe for consumption by humans and hazardous to life that normally exists in water. So stagnant water is not good. Every other kind of water is, like, helpful to us somehow. Water is the source of life, but stagnant water is deadly. Stagnant water is very toxic, and it can harm us if we ingest it. It's interesting because I think we are like this in a lot of ways. When a human being literally does not move for an extended period of time, they start to get bed sores, and these bed sores are open wounds on their flesh, and they're very painful. Sorry, I'm really distracted right now. Molly, is there an issue? Okay, yeah, Kent's with him, so he's good. So, yeah, hey, guys, time out real quick. Yeah, Elijah's, like, getting sick in the bathroom, and so when you see him tonight, kind of give him some props, because he just dove headfirst into that jalapeno. And that was not my intention to, what? See, and I didn't know that. hey. Yeah, so if you see him tonight, give him some props. Tell him he did good because he's throwing up right now. So, huh? She knows. It's fine. All right, anyways. All right, so I think human beings, let's bring it back. I think human beings are a lot like water. I think humans are very useful in every sort of way. Humans, there's a lot to us and we can do a lot of things. But I think we're like water in the sense that when we stand still for a long time, we become toxic and we become dangerous to people around us. Like I said, when a human body literally does not physically move for an extended period of time, they get bed sores and open wounds on their flesh that are very painful. And I think the same thing happens when we are stagnant spiritually. When we spiritually do not move, when we spiritually are not doing anything, we get these bed sores. Now, these bed sores aren't seen, and you can't hear them or necessarily even physically feel them. They show up in a different way. I think when we are spiritually standing still, when we're not doing anything in our spirit, when we're not doing anything with our faith, we get apathetic. We get more and more inwardly focused. It becomes more about us. Things rapidly shift from objective point of view. Objective means big picture. To subjective, that means more about your circumstances. You're viewing things in a biased way based on your circumstances. There's one thing though that Jesus says that takes care of this idea of spiritually standing still, and it's important to understand what Jesus says about this because if we call ourselves Christians, that literally means little Christs. If you have that definition, you could put it up. Google defines a Christian this way. A Christian is a person who believes in Jesus as the Son of God and his teachings. When someone was called a Christian in the Bible, what they were saying is you are literally Christ-like. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be Christ-like. And so it's important to know what Jesus says about this idea of spiritually standing still. He addresses the subject in a very odd way. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. It says, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying the key to greatness in the kingdom of God is giving your life away. The key to greatness in the kingdom of God is making yourself lower than others. In no way am I saying that you have to consider yourself like a second-class citizen and you're not worth it, you're not as valuable. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you recognize that God loves people. If you're a Christian, you recognize that God loves people. And when you know that God loves people, you want to love the things that God loves. That's what being a Christian is about, loving God and loving the things that he loves. And when you recognize that, You want to put other people first before your own needs and desires. I've learned that when you love somebody, the things that are important to them strangely become important to you. And if you really love God, if I really love God like I say I do, then the things that are important to him will become important to me. If you really love God, Parker, like you say you do, the things that are important to him will become important to you if you're growing in a relationship with him. If you're not, and I'm not picking on you, I promise, I'm just using you as an example. When the things that are important to God aren't important to us, that is a sign of stagnant spiritual life. When the things that are important to God are not important to us, that is a sign of being stagnant spiritually. Taking care of people is what touches the heart of God. Meeting people's needs is what touches the heart of God. I have one thing that I want you to remember tonight. Okay, one thing that I want you to walk away with is this. Okay, actionless faith isn't faith at all. Actionless faith isn't faith at all. Now, some of you might hear that and you might think to yourself, well, Pastor Ryan, where do you get off saying that? Like, I have faith in God. Like, where do you get off? It's not my opinion. James chapter 2 says this. This is a word of God. James chapter 2 verse 17 says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. I'll say it this way. The only way your faith, my faith, anybody's faith, the only way your faith is worth something is if it produces good deeds. If it's not producing good deeds, then it's useless, according to the book of James in the Bible. It's useless. It's dead. Actionless faith isn't faith at all. Allison and Parker, come on up here. Allison, come up, quickly. I want to call Kent up too, but actually Kent is putting this in motion right now. I want to recognize you guys because a couple of weeks ago, you guys did this. You guys put your faith into action, and you spent almost 2 hours on a Saturday just picking up trash in a park. You didn't have to. You could have slept in. You could have, you know, hung out with your family. You could have whatever. But you decided that making your city better was important. It's important to God. It's important to you. So I wanted to say thank you, Allison. I know you love coffee, so I got you $25 to Starbucks. So that's for you. And Parker, I know you like to eat, so I got you $25 at Applebee's. And this is for Kent. So you guys, give them a hand, guys. You guys can go sit down. Kent also went. Kent was a part of it, and actually so was Logan. Logan was a part of it. Kent obviously isn't in here. He's putting this into action right now. He's living this out. He was in the bathroom with Elijah the whole time Elijah was in there throwing up, and he was just, you know, supporting him, like just, you know, being there for him. What? Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. That seriously, that is faith in action. You might say, what? You might say, oh, that's nothing. He just ran to the store. He just bought some milk. That's faith in action. Kent didn't have to do that. Kent did it because he loves Elijah. Why does he love Elijah? Because God loves Elijah. Like that, I mean, that is a prime example right there of your faith in action. I'll say this, and this is a bold statement, but I believe it's true. If you're not regularly serving someone other than yourself, your faith is useless. If you're not regularly serving someone other than yourself, your faith is useless, because actionless faith isn't faith at all. You can pray 6 hours every day. 6 hours every day of the week. But if your faith isn't producing good deeds, it's useless, because actionless faith isn't faith at all. You can have the Bible memorized. You can have it memorized. But if your faith doesn't produce good deeds, it's useless, because actionless faith isn't faith at all. You can sing worship songs all the time. You can follow all the rules. You can never miss a day of church. But if your faith isn't producing good deeds, it's useless. Why? Why? You guys listening? Actionless faith isn't faith at all. Okay? Are you guys kind of understanding what I'm saying? Okay, because you guys look way lost. I'll end with this, okay? A couple of weeks ago, I talked about community, and we sat back there and we talked about what it would look like to be a real community. And I asked a question: how different would our city look if we were a community the way God wants us to be? And actually, I heard that some of you guys kind of came up with some answers to that, and you shared with Lauren and Robin over the past couple weeks, and I would love to hear that stuff. But I want to ask you this question tonight: what if we are the type of community that God wants us to be, and we put our faith into action? What if they both happen? How would that change our city? How would that change your school? How different would your house look if you were a part of a community the way God wants you to be, and you were putting action to your faith? How different would things look in your life? I have a video right now that I want to show you. It's a few minutes long, but it's really important, and it drives home the point of this idea of putting your faith into action. So turn your attention to the video screen, please.
There's a question question I get a lot that I don't really like, and they'll say, the question is sometimes people ask me, Jeff, when did you go into ministry? Or Jeff, how long have you been in ministry? And my answer is always the exact same. My answer is, since I've been a Christian just like every other follower of Jesus. And that usually gets me a weird look, and I know what they're trying to ask, but I use that answer to kind of take the conversation elsewhere, because the truth is there's kind of this notion in American Christianity that there's explicitly Christian or holy type jobs like pastor, theologian, Bible study leader, and there's mundane ones that aren't as good, like a artist, a painter, a cook, a engineer, a mechanic, or whatnot. And I really don't think that is all that biblical. And in all honesty, you can trace it back in church history to around 300-400 AD, where Christianity became governmentally sanctioned for the first time and became socially acceptable for the first time since the life, person, and work of Jesus. And with that, there's this notion that there's varsity type ministries, like I said, pastor, theologian, and there's JV ones where you're not really doing God's work and it's not as good. But I just don't think that's all that biblical. And the verse I think of when I hear that is 2 Corinthians 5. And just to read this verse real quick, 2 Corinthians 5:18 is the verse that I want to read, but the famous verse is the one before that where it says, in Christ we are new creations. And then this verse happens in 18. It says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And so what it says there is that God, right, reconciled us to himself through Jesus, and then kind of had this said, okay, now go mirror that. Now it's your turn to go have the ministry of reconciliation and do what I just did for you. And that, it's not talking to pastors here. It's not talking to Bible study leaders. It's talking to the Corinthians, who are actually a messed up, broken church of people. And so he's saying to everyday people, use your giftings, use your talents, use your callings, right, to be a minister of reconciliation. And I actually have a chapter 9 in my book that comes out in the fall is about that. And you can check it out down below if you want more info, where I go into more detail. But just quickly, I want to give the one thought and encouragement that if you follow Jesus, you are in ministry. Your work counts, even if you are a painter, even if you are a mechanic, whatever it is, because God, his mission, it looks like in scripture, is to bring the kingdom to totality, bring the fullness of the kingdom, right? And in Genesis, we see that God started with a garden, and then thousands of years later in Revelation, when the culmination of new creation happens, we see it ends in a city. It doesn't say go garden to garden, it goes garden to city. Now, how do you get there? How do you get from a garden to a city? You get there by building, by creating, by cultivating, right? And a city implies like an entire way of life with music and food and art and politics and culture. And so we have to see that God cares about all domains of life. And our job as Christians is to impact and infiltrate a particular domain and bring the kingdom down on earth in that domain. We're supposed to kick back the darkness and bring light. And in the same way that God breathed life into dust, we are to do that into the dust of particular domains on earth. So be encouraged that you, if you follow Jesus, God is pleased with you, has given you that calling and kind of that bent to enjoy either art or cooking or sewing or whatever it is, so that you might be an agent, an ambassador of reconciliation in that realm. So know he is pleased with you, and understand too that we all have a calling on our lives, and the general calling is that we would be ambassadors of reconciliation. We would mirror what God through Christ has done to us. And so know that you are in ministry, and we are here to bring the kingdom down on earth, which is Jesus' prayer, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. He cares about the here and now, and he wants us to bring the kingdom and the new creation to fruition here and now. So be encouraged, and I love you guys.
I think that's really good, and I think it paints a great picture of the heart of God. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm the only one in full-time ministry. Kent is an awesome example of this. Kent is in full-time ministry, even though he's a fireman for a living. That just pays the bills, but he's a minister. Robin is an office manager, but that just pays the bills. She's a minister. I could keep going. I'm not the only one. There are countless people. If you think about it, there are a lot of people who have served you, who have impacted your life. And I think You can think of three main ones. Some of you guys were able to experience Pastor Thomas. Pastor Thomas was here 3 years ago or so, or 4 years ago or something like that. And he was awesome, awesome guy. A lot of you guys got to experience Pastor Derek. I mean, from what I understand, he was a really fun guy. He was cool too. And obviously, you know, I'm serving now as the youth pastor, but we're not the only ones who served in ministry. We're not the only ones who served in this youth ministry. Can you put up that next list? Kent, Celeste, Robin, Jason, Allison, Jonathan, Casey, Lauren, Aaron, Beth. These are all names of people who are currently serving, except Jason. Jason stepped out like 2 months ago, but this is people who are currently serving, and the list doesn't stop there of people who have served here, people who have given of themselves here. That's just a snapshot of people who have given themselves to teenagers just like you. And this is what I want to say. It's your turn. It's your turn to give away what was so generously given to you. It's your turn. This is what I believe. If we're going to continually become like Jesus, because that's the goal of Christianity, is to become more and more like Jesus every day. If we're going to continually strive to be like Jesus, we have to serve. Because what did he say in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28? He said, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to learn that this isn't a recommendation. It's not a recommendation. It's a command. And it's a regular thing that we're supposed to do, is to give ourselves to people, give ourselves to the community for the betterment of people, for the betterment of our community. Instead, whoever wants to become great must be your servant. Whoever wants to become great must be your servant. See, this is what I've learned. I've been a Christian for, like, a devoted Christ follower for about 11 years, 11 and a half years. And this is what I've learned in those 11 and a half years, is God's kingdom is backwards from what the world says. God's kingdom is backwards. The world says, if you want to be great, go get it. Go get yours, like, and step on anybody anybody that gets in your way, like, screw them, you know, like that kind of thing. But God's kingdom says, become the least, become the last, become the lowest. And then you'll be great. If you want to be first, you must become a slave to everybody. God's kingdom is backward from what the world says. And if we're going to continually become like Jesus, if we're going to keep moving in that direction, then we have to learn how to serve. Serving just can't be something that we do. It has to be a part of who we are. It has to be a part of who we are. And the cool thing is when we get to serve in that capacity, it's ministry. We get to share the gospel with people. Have you guys ever heard of St. Francis? I'm getting some nods. St. Francis of Assisi is like his full title. And this guy, he lived back in like 1000 AD or 1100 AD or whatever. And he has this famous quote. And I like it because I think it's absolutely true. It says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. What is he saying? He's saying, you can preach the love of Jesus to people in your context of life simply by the way you live, simply by the way you serve. You don't even have to say anything. People can see that there's something different about you. And I think it's true. Absolutely. Do I think there's a place and time to tell people verbally about Jesus? Absolutely. But I think we can show people who he is when we put into action our faith. God's kingdom is backward from what the world says. And if we want to be like Jesus and not like the world, we have to learn this as a way of life. It can't just be something that we do. It can't just be a good idea. It can't just be something that we talk about on a Wednesday. It has to be something that you do regularly. And so, Jonathan, if you could come up, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about where are you at in your life with this area, with this idea of servanthood, being a servant, being a minister of the gospel through serving. Where are you at? Do you do it at all? do you do it? Some. Could you be better? Could you be better at it? I want to say what I said a little bit ago, and then I'm gonna explain how we're gonna end tonight. If you're not regularly serving someone other than yourself, your faith is useless, because actionless faith isn't faith at all. Here's what I have up here. I have two clipboards, and it has a name bracket and it has a grade bracket. And all this is for, it's for Project Acts. And I really want to challenge you guys to make this decision not based on your comfort. Make this decision not based on what will be fun, not based on who's going to sign up. I want you to make this decision based on your relationship with God. Do you love Jesus? Well, here's an opportunity to show it. Project Acts, like I said earlier, it's an opportunity to serve our city, to reach out to people in our city, reach out to little kids, reach out to impoverished people. What we're going to do, what Northside Assembly is going to do, we're going to put on sports camps for little kids in parks around the city that week. That's it. That's how we get to love people this summer, is putting on sports camps. It's that easy. So I want to challenge you guys, like, think outside of yourself. Think outside of yourself. Don't think about who is the cool person gonna sign up? Is this gonna be fun or like whatever? Don't think about that. Think about how this is going to help you grow in your relationship with God. So this is how we're gonna end tonight. I'm just gonna leave the clipboards up here, and they got pens in them. And if you want to go further in your relationship with God, I want to encourage you, sign up for this. It's $65. That's half of the cost of camp. And you get lunch and dinner, breakfast, lunch, and dinner the whole week. And it's like, it's basically like camp at night. And it's an awesome time, and I'm gonna have fun being there, but I want my friends to be there too. I want you guys to be there with me. So if this is something you want to do, I want to invite you to come up now. Come up now and just sign up. I want you to really consider doing it. Don't worry about who's coming up. Don't worry about who's gonna see you, about what people are gonna say. I want you to really think outside of yourself. For a few more minutes. I'm just gonna wait. I don't wanna rush. I don't wanna miss an opportunity for somebody to come up, for somebody to get involved with this. So we're gonna wait for a few minutes.
there anybody else that wants to come give it a shot, wants to be involved? Dip your heads with me. I'm going to pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that you push us to be better. You know what we're capable of. You know we're capable of doing more than we think we are. And you push us to be better than we are right now. I thank you for that, God. Thank you that you want us to have the best possible life while we're here on earth. Thank you. God, right now I pray that you would begin to continue to unify us as a youth group. That we would learn what it means to be a real community. We would learn what it means to be on each other's side, have each other's back. This wouldn't just be a place where we come and hang out for an hour and 15 minutes, but it would be a place where we come and we genuinely connect with each other and we genuinely connect with you. I pray, God, that for anybody tonight that was maybe afraid to respond or just didn't feel like it or whatever, I pray that you would continue to put your finger on the area of their heart. This area of serving, this area of giving your life away. And for those of us, God, who are interested in more and who are hungry for more, I pray, God, that you would take us deeper. Take us deeper, Father. We want to know you more. We want to experience more of you. Help us, God. We love you. We give you praise, God. Thank you for what you've done in our lives tonight. Thank you for what you're gonna do this week, this month, this summer. Thank you, God. You are good. We recognize that tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I believe there are cupcakes. Is that correct? It is Ivy's birthday today, and you guys know that. Ivy is 23, and... she's 15. There are